Praise the Lord, everybody. Good morning. So praise the Lord. My sleep was long last night. Almost became short until I decided I'm going to lay back down and not get up 5:30 this time. It was awesome, I have to say. Praise God. Look, one of the things is, and you were talking about in Hebrews 2, and there's just a couple points that I want to highlight. I think it was a pretty good word, Brad. But one of the couple points I want to highlight is there. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, I want to break this down into a place where it's applicable and a place that where we can practice this and a place where we can actually use this. Okay, because look, it is a place where I know that, look, I am given a head. The Lord has given me a head in the sense of, you know, it being Steve. But it's not about Steve, it's about the Lord and the uniform that Steve wears and the anointing that the Lord is well able to give me what I need through Steve, and praise God. Okay? So, you know, if we can go back to John where it talks about, look, man, if they will hear you, they'll hear me. And so we're given a head here, but I want to look at this in the applicable manner in the sense of, look, how many times is a word given unto you? And it be the word of the Lord through your disciple or through somebody else in the body that is very much of the Lord. Do you actually take heed to that thing, grab a hold of it, and run with it and not let it slip? And not just cast it down to the side of a meaning of no words? And say, oh, that's not applicable to me, that's not true for me. I mean, do we do that? We ought not to let these things slip. Now, I know that in my mind, what I think about, and a great example, is where Steve would receive good things in the Bible study, and what he would pray is that he would pray, Lord, keep these things in my remembrance, Lord. Help me not to lose any of these words that were given to me that was very much of the Lord that the Davy would preach unto him so that he could go forward in just that. Because look, guys, I mean, if we are given, I mean, look, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He is not. And he is wants to furnish you with everything that you need to go forward. And he has. I mean, that's the thing, and he has. And I know that you were talking about, Brad, for an example of, man, go into a situation where you don't know what to do. It is way above you. Well, it's not way above the Lord, so what do? You pick up the phone, you give a phone call, or you knock on somebody's door. Now, okay, when you do that and then you receive that word which is given to you, now the choice is up to you whether you're going to actually use that. Are you going to just let that slip and say, hey, man, the guy doesn't know what he's talking about? Or pretty much what we're saying is God doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, don't hear me wrong. I mean, there's things you can go out in the world and get a vice and it'd be absolutely the wrong vice. And you go forward in that thing and it actually is not good at all. I mean, don't hear me wrong. Look, I mean, the fact is, if I'm not preaching the word of the Lord and it is not of the Lord, I hope you do forget it because it's not going to profit you one bit. Because what does the Lord do? Look, man, he confirms his word. He confirmed his word. But do we take heed to that word? Do we actually choose to believe it and go forward in that word that is given to us? And it's verily, I mean, it is so there before us sometimes, the truth of that word. In the sense of, it's, how do I else describe it? It's to the application of the struggle that we might be going through, or the thing that is way too big for us that we're going through. It is a word to actually go forward in that. It's a praise the Lord. He's awesome. He wants you to be victorious. He called us to what? Succeed, not fail. Right? Y'all remember that in that one conference with David Spurgeon? He's called us to succeed, not fail. So he gives us that word. Now, it's really up to us and our own choosing whether we're going to go and do it. If we're going to go and do it. And do it in faith, believing him. Believing him. Now, I just wanted to highlight that for you because and put it into a place where we yet have opportunity, yet he's all furnished us with victory. What does he say? In this world you shall what? Have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What? I have overcome the world. And just like you were talking about how he was made perfect through what? Sufferings? Don't you think that we're going to have sufferings ourselves? Absolutely. Says it's going to happen. And it doesn't even say it's just going to happen to believers. It says it's just going to happen. But it's through that that your faith gets strengthened. It's through that that you get a confidence not in yourself, but in the Lord and what he's able to do. It's through those things. So praise God that you get those situations that are way too big for you. Praise God you get those Goliaths that come before your face. Giants that are too big for you in the natural. But guess what? It is not too big for the Lord. And what happens is you get strengthened. But guess what? To the old man, it's very, very, very much uncomfortable. It's very much uncomfortable in the old man. But it's actually in those times where you actually get strengthened in faith and in love. Now, one of the things that I want to highlight and go to is that I know the past couple weeks I've been talking about loving God, loving one another. And serving the Lord. And also talking about how, look man, nothing was too low for Jesus to do. Nothing. Nothing was too low for Jesus to do. I mean, he washed the saints' feet. I'm sure he went times with no sleep ministering. He was a beating unto death, like you said. What did he do? He strived against sin to the what? Sweating of blood. Now, I have never resisted that much in my life, ever. I don't even know what that's like. And I know you were talking about he has been tempted just like as we've been tempted, and on points likewise, and it's that, look, he understands. But the truth of the matter is that we don't understand. I mean, have a one of you resisted against sin to the sweating of blood? No. So it's really that we don't understand, but he's a loving father. He wants us to be victorious in him once again. Now, the thing that happens with us, and I was talking about entering into the joy of the Lord, and that joy, his joy, might remain in you, and that what? His love might remain in you through what? Serving him. Putting others before yourself. He says, hey, I don't know how many times does John say, I write these things to you, little children, so that what? Your joy might be full. And John, the Gospel of John, he talks about how that his joy might what? Remain in you. His joy. But see, what happens is that we struggle with this old man. And see, this flesh is what? Contrary to the Lord. Make sure that's on. It is contrary to the Lord in all his ways. It's at enmity against God. It's 180 degrees from it. It is cursed. It is going back down to the ground. And what a lot of times the struggle and the things, the reason why we don't get that joy in us is that by somehow, some way, we're trying to get our flesh to agree with the Lord. And guess what? It is not going to. It is not going to. It won't ever be. So, but for some reason, you guys hang on to this flesh like this old man has something good to offer, and you're trying to get this thing to agree with God. And it's not. It's not going to happen. And the reason why there's no joy is because yet, man, you're hanging on to this old nasty thing. You're trying to make this thing like what the Lord is doing. You're trying to get this thing to like to love one another. You're trying to get this thing to like these things. It's because you hold this thing in high esteem. Well, guess what? It's going back down to the ground. It's cursed. It's going to become worm food. But see, our soul can be absolutely free in Christ Jesus and not entangled to that yoke of bondage anymore. What? He came to set the captives free. So what needs to happen for you to get that joy is you got to utterly put that old man down. You got to crucify that thing. You got to recognize that, man, this thing is nasty, no good for nothing, and it's going back to the ground. Worth a zero, zada, manada, nothing. I don't even know what that meant. But anyways, praise God. Amen. But it's nothing. Quit holding that thing in high esteem. Now, Brad and I mean, I think we've had some conversations about that sometimes. But the point of me conversating with these things is for him to recognize that that old man that he thinks is great is nothing. It never will be nothing. It never, never will be nothing. But the new man that Christ gives you, where your soul can now abide, that is uncorruptible, unchangeable, unmovable. That's the gift that the Lord has given you. And praise be to God. And that's where that love comes in. That's where that joy comes in. That's where all good things come from. It's the Father of lights. Comes from that new man. And that new man, he freely gives if you receive it. But you got to put off the old first. You can't be double-minded. Yet you can't put on two cloaks. You can't mix the new wine in old bottles lest they burst. You can't do it. You got to utterly cast that old man down, recognize for what it is, and take no heed to it. And then when you go forward serving the Lord in the what? New man. And then your joy will come. So look, guys, if you don't have joy, have you put that old man down? It's kind of like a litmus test. If you're loving the Lord, are you loving your brother? Well, if you're hating your brother, I tell you what, you're not loving the Lord. It's a litmus test. Are you doubting all the situation around you? Are you overtaken with doubt and defeat, seeing no hope? Well, let me tell you, that's the old man. Don't try to get that thing to change its mind about the situation. It never will. That thing is never going to want to love its brother. It doesn't have a brother. It hates everything. That thing is not going to love the things of the Lord and prefer the things that are above and not on the things on earth. It's not going to happen. So don't put your energy in trying to dress that thing up nice and trying to get it to change its mind. You're going to be spending a lot of time and energy in a very unnecessary thing. But rather, put that thing down. Then you can take upon that new man. Then you can take upon that cloak of righteousness which the Lord gives you freely. then you can go walk in that victory that He's called. Then you can tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And then there would be no man able to stand against you. No man being able to take that away from you. I don't know about you. What do you want? Life and peace in Christ Jesus, that new life divine, the ladder which I was just talking about. Are you going to have fear, torment, misery, self-love, all the things that are not of the Lord? I think I'll take the things of Christ, man. I don't know about you. And guess what? You can. You just need to choose to grab a hold of it and take heed to it and put that old man down. See, it's got to become the most important thing to you. Remember what Jacob did when he wrestled with Jesus. He was not letting go until he had that blessing. So no matter what is going on around you, you're going to choose to believe the word of the Lord. You're going to put that old man down with its lies and deceits and the things that wants to drag you down. And you're not going to give it any place at all. And with every ounce in you, you're going to choose to love the Lord. You're going to choose to believe His word. You're not going to accept any other thing. You're not going to accept that doubt, that worry, that fear. You're not going to accept any of it. You're going to give it no place at all. And you hit your face before the Lord. You plead against Him. And Lord, if you don't have the will, guess what? Like you said, Brad, He'll give you the will. And you get down here and you ask Him for these things. You lift these things up. You ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit. And you get up and you believe that prayer. You believe it. And anything that will stand against that, you cast out. When that old man tries to get you to doubt that thing, when the old man tries to get you to not believe the word of the Lord, when the old man tries to tell you to look with your carnal mind at the situation beyond you, you give it no place. You tell it to shut up and go back down to the ground where it belongs. And you come up victorious in Christ Jesus. I don't care what situation's before you. I don't care how bad your day started out. I remember the story that Steve tells when he's talking about John Sexhour was having a bad day. Something about they had a flat tire. They went to go put the spare on. John jacked it up in the wrong place on the body of the car, bent the car up. And John is freaking out. And Steve, with vehement and love, let me tell you how this love worked and how this love looked. He grabbed a hold of John Sexhour, shook him up and said, "Hey, John, some of my best days have started out like this. Put this nonsense down." Guess what? They got help and they went forward, and guess what? It was a great day. See, look, if Steve, how anybody, determined, no matter what's going on with the body, how any single one of you guys can stand up and choose to believe the Lord in whatever situation is. If Steve went in down to the same pit that John did, would it have been a great day? No. But Steve chose to believe the word of the Lord and go forward in that which the Lord had for him that day. And he was not letting anything interrupt that. That's how we ought to be. We ought to have that same determination in those things. And just like it was when David, little young David, a shepherd, must have not been more than 16 years old, went to go up and say, bring food to his brethren. And Goliath was there, standing there and saying, defying the armies of the living God. And what did David say? Man, he goes, "Who was this uncircumcised Philistine, what's the word? Defying the armies of the living God. Who is this?" And what does his brethren say? His brother wanted to drag him down. "Man, you speak haughtily. Man, you speak of pride." "No, I'm not. That son of a gun speaking against our God, and I know he's big." So you had the whole armies of Israel bowing, I mean, just in the crouches, in the ditches in fear. But David chose up to believe the word of the Lord. And when he went in not in his own strength or his own might and his own power. Because remember, when he put on the armor that Saul gave him, it was too big for him. He gave him the sword. He could not yield it. But when he grabbed a hold of his sling and he took those things off and he turned that sling and he flew it and it sunk into Goliath's head, he was operating in the Lord's strength. And that angel of the Lord took that rock and sunk it into his head. And he became victorious. And he was operating in the Lord's strength because you know what he did? He picked up the giant sword and cut his head off. Remember, he couldn't yield that small sword, but that big one that Goliath had, he could all of a sudden because he was operating in the strength of the Lord. And he didn't put on that worldly coat, that worldly armor that was trying to be given to him. No, he came in there in the Lord's uniform. There was nothing that could stand against the Lord. And he wasn't doing it for his own glory. No, he was doing it for the Lord. And who got glorified? The Lord got glorified. See, look, there's nothing too big for our God. Nothing. No situation, no struggle, no inadequacy. I don't care what your struggle is. I don't care what your problem may be. It's not too big for the Lord. And I don't care what's going on. You can be filled with love, joy, and peace. And you can become successful in Him. It's not too big for the Lord. So let's go enter into that joy of the Lord. Let's put off that old man. Let's walk in the new man. What does Paul say? There's one verse out of Romans that I really want to read. And Paul came to the conclusion because, look, man, he knew how nasty and vile and ugly this old man is. And he came to this place in chapter 7, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I tell you what, that's a plea like no other. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul understood the body of this death. He understood this old man, who he was, what he looked like. And man, if your soul is dwelling in that, it seems like no absolute hope for you at all. So who's the way out and how's the way out? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He recognized the flesh, who it was, and just gave it no place. I think it was David one side that your flesh doesn't get better, but it only gets worse. But Paul became determined to serve that law of God. And this isn't the law of Moses, folks. This is the law of God. And that law of God was Jesus Christ. The righteousness that Jesus Christ has, that cloak that He gives unto us. He believes it. He believes it. His soul counts on it. That is the only thing that will save you. That is the only thing that will cover you. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. So when that angel of death comes over, it passes right on over. Because you know who it sees. And when God the Father looks down upon you and you're in Christ Jesus and that blood is being covered, what does He see? He sees His Son Jesus and what? Whom He is well pleased. So with the mind, He serves that. With the mind, He believes that. And He's not going to accept no other thing. So folks, let's go forward. Believe in the Word. Let's go forward. Let's put off that old man. Let's believe the Word of the Lord. Let's become part of His body, part of His mind, a part of His love, that new life divine that He has for each and every one of you. And let's go and grab a hold of those promises of the Lord. Not trying to do it this old man, because it's never going to attain. But with that new man that Christ has given you, that free gift that He has. Amen.